Bucks Uncensored is brought to you by Bricado's Sandwich Shop, 5021 East Columbus Drive in Ybor City, home of the best deviled crabs in town. When you go by there, and I know you will, don't forget to try that devil crab. Bucks Uncensored is also brought to you by Sports Legends Bar and Grill, home of one of the best draft parties this area, Tampa Bay, has ever seen. We took the roof off that mother. Phenomenal food. It's all fresh, and it's the only place in Tampa where you can eat like a legend and drink like a champ. It's at the corner of US 19 and Drew in Clearwater. Sports Legends Bar and Grill, where you can eat like a legend.
Bucks Uncensored.
I'm tired of getting disrespected. I'm tired of low expectations. I know what we're about. I know what we're about. I know how great we are. Let's keep stacking them W's and let's do it as a family. More happy. Let's get it.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers select O.J.
What's my name?
Jason!
Right back into this. Speak softly, carry a big mother...
Is there a better opening to a podcast anywhere? Man, I hear that from the commish and the whole full podcast open, and I just instantly feel so much cooler. Like, I just feel like alive and just real, and my Bucks fan core. It's just the coolest thing ever. I'm Steve Isbitz from JoeBucksFan.com, filling in, humbled to be in the chair here. And I love that music in the background, man. I think I might just fuck with it for a while, let it play, let it fade out, let it come back. I just love the way it gets me going. Little Trick Daddy here filling in for the commish, Justin Pulowski. And man, Bucks Uncensored, this is just the place to be. All of you stick carriers on the Stick Carrier Facebook page, keep doing what you're doing. Keep bonding. Keep getting stronger. And you know what? If you're not there yet, just Google Stick Carriers Facebook. It's right there. Justin will approve you. Be part of the group. Let it grow. Because one of the great things that I've heard from the Stick Carriers as a devoted listener to this podcast, one of the great things I've heard is the desire from fans, Bucks fans, to be that fan base that is known around the country for a Dog Pound or a Seattle's 11th Man or crazy traveling Steelers fans, or you pick it. Why not us? Why not Bucks fans? I mean, shit, we've been known for blackouts, we've been known for not showing up, we've been known for stadium rules that tell you not to stand up. Even Miko Grimes, when Miko was a fan, becoming a Bucks fan with Brent Grimes here, she thought it was total BS with a lot of the rules going on at Raymond James Stadium or people just sitting on their hands. She couldn't believe it. She was very vocal. And by the way, if you didn't listen to Justin interview Miko Grimes for Bucks Uncensored, go to podbean.com, go to iTunes, and catch that interview. People are still talking about it. Easily, way more than 10,000 people listen to it already. Fantastic just entertainment, let alone good information there. So definitely do that. And you know what? While you're there, leave a review for the podcast. Leave a review, because you know what? It's cool. It's another way to unite, another way to get people excited. On iTunes, takes, what, 1 minute to leave a review? Podbean, same thing. Do that. Freshen it up a little bit, and it's a great way to counter some of the idiots who have blasted this podcast, the haters and all those types. But anyway, back to Bucks fans. The desire to be special, as fan bases go, is real. And you know what? Everybody at One Buck Palace should be celebrating that. The Buccaneers, I know they like this podcast, otherwise I would have heard about it, because that's just the way the media world works. But I think this year is the year, is a turning point in the fan base, and it's going to start with training camp takeover day by the stick carriers. We're all waiting for the Bucs to release the dates of training camp. So Justin, the lieutenant colonel of the stick carriers, of course, Dirk Cutter is the godfather and the general. Justin will pick a date for that day to go crazy in a G-rated manner, maybe a little PG here and there, but to really show Hard Knocks and to show other fans that we're not going to be second-rate fans as a fan base anymore. Now, I know if you're listening to the podcast, you're a serious fan, and I'm not knocking anybody, but let's keep it real. The Bucs are not known for that kind of fan base and that kind of faction of the fan base, but that's changing. That is changing, and it's probably the greatest legacy the commish, our hero, is going to leave to Bucs fans. And it's going to happen this year. It's going to happen now. So today, man, what are we going to be doing here? What is Steve Isbitz from Joe Bucs Fan doing with the commish here on this podcast? What the hell's going on? Well, I'll tell you what's going on. We're going to hear from you. We're going to hear Bucs takes. Because what's this podcast without Bucs takes? I mean, come on. You can't listen too often with the kids around. You got to find the right time, but you do it anyway, and you make it happen. And we're going to hear from me talking about stuff I saw at practice on Thursday, stuff I've seen through OTAs, a couple of takes from me. And one of the takes that Justin threw out there, I'm glad he shared it in the last podcast and put it out there for your Bucs takes. The one issue topic, if you will, that we're going to look at this morning is, what's Dirk Cutter's biggest decision? That's going to be some of the theming of your Bucs takes. And he's got a lot of big ones to make, man. Really, really big decisions entering this season. We're not talking third and nine with, you know, late in the fourth quarter against Miami, that kind of shit. We're talking about broad, serious decisions Cutter has to make for this team to set the direction and to make some key decisions. So we're going to be talking plenty of Bucs, and we got more to talk about as well.
Bucs Uncensored.
Yum!
All right, how about that new lady on the podcast? It's a new voice, a new women's voice there. Yeah, that's actually my wife, who is just completely pissed off at Justin that he took the yum out of the Brocados commercial, so I told her she could bring it back to the podcast for all of us who missed Justin's yum that he screams out with. Brocados without the yum is just like, it's just like football without the beer. It's just total bullshit. All right, we're going to your Bucs takes because that's what we're doing. And of course, again, the theme was, what's Dirk Cutter's biggest decision? Jeremy and Callie's got an answer.
Mr. Isbitz, it's Jeremy and Callie. Calling in because I'm stoked that you're stepping in for Justin for one episode, which should be, I'm excited to hear this. I also want to thank you, man, for giving us this platform for the Bucs. Joe Bucs Fan has really delivered, unlike any other media for the Buccaneers for me. And, you know, giving a platform for Justin and Ira and Rock Riley and all the boys. Anyway, your question, the thing that you're talking about this week, is the biggest decision for Dirk Cutter. I think the biggest decision, you know, one besides the kicker, is going to be if Ali Marpet cannot perform at center and is just getting obliterated and doesn't know what he's doing. Does he have to make the decision on if he's going to put Joe Hawley in there or what he's going to do at center? That could be, I think, a big decision this year. I really hope it doesn't happen. I think Ali Marpet's ready to do center and be in there and be ready to go. But that could be a very big decision. So, we got all the sponsors. We got Brocados, B4, Sports Legends, where you can eat like a legend and drink like a champion. And Joe Bucs Fan, all you guys, all that fun. And as always, speak softly. And carry the big motherfucking stick!
Appreciate the love, Jeremy and Callie. Appreciate the love. Hey, you know, we get a lot of thank yous for giving Ira Kaufman a new home since the Tribune folded after the Times bought it and shut it down and then kicked Ira to the curb. And we get thanks for giving Justin a platform. And we appreciate it. You know, those guys work their balls off. And we're just happy to have them on the team. And, you know, we're all just trying to cover the Bucks in a way that is just real and legitimate. And that's why JoeBucksFan.com works. And we get a lot of bullshit on the site. People saying, well, I'm reading here, here, and here that this is what's going on and this is what's happening. Sorry. One, we don't pay attention to a lot of that stuff. And two, we're taking years and years and years of experience and living the Bucks life 24/7. Lee DeKemper and I, and we're applying it and giving you our take and what we're seeing at One Buck. And that's all we really care about is delivering Bucks coverage sort of the way you would want it. Because really, that's why we got into this, because we just thought everybody else kind of sucked. And there was an opening for this. Now, the Commish's podcast, hey, it's fantastic. I remember sitting with Justin in August saying, look, man, you're gone from Scout. Just come over, get back working with us again, and just do whatever the hell you want. Unleash yourself, strip away the corporate BS rules, do whatever the hell you want. And Bucks Uncensored was born. And you know what? Justin does whatever the hell he wants. And that's why it works. It's awesome fun. All right. Ali Marpet. Jeremy, you said, what's Cutter going to do if Ali Marpet gets obliterated? Well, you know what? That's not a tough decision. If he gets obliterated, you get him the hell out of there. Move him back to right guard. Figure it out. But if he's really getting clobbered, that's going to be an easy decision. The tough decision is how long do you give Marpet to adjust? And I'm not painting any doom and gloom. Marpet should be a good center. But it's ludicrous to think it's not going to take a little time to adjust. And sometimes when you think you're a playoff team, when you believe that you're going to the Super Bowl, your center needing 4, 5, 6 games to adjust, that can cost you a game sometimes. And so that's dangerous territory. And of course, Sweezy, we love the guy. We want him to succeed, but he's looking for a miracle. I still can't find a guy who missed every single practice, every single game after back surgery that the team has kept in complete mystery as to what happened. I've never found a guy like that to come back and have a good season or a full season. So he's looking to bust the odds. I'm not saying he can't do it. He's young enough, and I don't think the Bucks would be investing if they didn't believe in it, but it's scary as hell. But as far as a decision for Cutter, no, it's an easy decision. If Ali Marpet stinks, you got to pull the plug. But the tough call is, how long do you give him? How much time do you give him to break in if he's just a little below average for a while? How much time do you give him? Now, I got to say, the Marpet thing was a common Bucks take that we got emailed in. Got a lot of Bucks takes came in. I got to tell you guys, I cannot get to all of them. There's just too many. I don't have the technical savvy to do it fast enough to maybe even get more of them in. So I'm sorry if you didn't get in. But Marpet was a hot topic. And I'll throw this out now because I don't want to disappoint anybody. I know I am. But Lou, Port Richie Lou, you did not make the cut this week, dog. I'm sorry, man. It was a very special Justin-focused Bucks take that you sent in. And I thought Justin could just save it for Monday, man. So you didn't make the cut today, but I hope you keep listening. Nothing personal. Keep carrying that big motherfucking stick. All right. Now, again, Marpet was a big deal, and I'm going to let JB in Orlando give his take.
Mr. Isbitz, JB from Orlando, how's it going? Thanks for filling in for the commish this weekend. Easy question. It's almost like a softball thrown down the fucking middle. But, you know, that's what these Saturday podcasts are for. The biggest decision that Coach Cutter's going to make, he's already kind of made it. Although he's kind of hedging, because coaches like to do that with the Marpet at center experiment. It's not a fucking experiment. He's going to be the starting center. Marpet's going to kick ass and take names. He's going to change the whole offensive line and the whole game plan for the Bucks this fall, and it's going to be awesome. It was a great call. I think Allie's embracing the challenge. He's going to be ready. He's lean, big, strong. He's going to kick some ass. I can't fucking wait to see him hike the ball, and maybe go all pro, man. We've got the fucking Pro Bowl here in Orlando again. Love to see Ali there, and I'm confident that he's going to do a great job. Thanks for covering for us, Steve. What do y'all think?
Thanks, JB. I don't have much more to add, man. The bottom line is the Marpet thing scares the shit out of a lot of Bucks fans. It really scares the shit out of a lot of fans because they really believed he was a Pro Bowl right guard. Ali Marpet, man. Great rookie year. got a little banged up last year, grinded all the way through 16 games. Damn good player. He's got the attitude, the drive. He's got the strength. He's a dog. And now they're moving him. I get it. It's scary. It's a big X factor for this year. But the decision's been made. Cutter called it an experiment, but it's one that's going to go into October at least. And we'll see what happens. But I get the fear. I get the excitement. It's part of what makes this season great. Now, stick carriers, Justin's brought this up before. I'm going to mention it right now. Stick carrier training camp takeover day. The announcement is coming very soon. The reason you don't have an announcement, the reason you don't have a date, is because the Bucks haven't released that schedule yet for training camp. So as soon as that happens, and probably it's going to be the end of next week, so about 5-6 days or so, you'll get that full schedule. Justin will pick a date. It'll be in the Facebook page. And we are going to take over training camp, the chance, directly to players, directly to the Godfather, Coach Cutter, directly to Jason Light, directly to Ira Irv Kaufman. Bucks fans are going to see that. The other 1,000, 2,000 people who are there, that's the people this is really for. It's about showing them that they don't have to be quiet fans anymore, that training camp doesn't have to be a sit on your hands, la, 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 sweat your balls off, and drink $2 Gatorade and get out of there. No. It's a time to bond with your team directly, to make an impact, to be felt, and to bring other fans into the mission of the stick carriers. I can't wait for that day to come, and the announcement's coming soon. We just can't do it yet because we don't have a date yet, but it's going to be unbelievable. And you know what? The stick carriers, I will bet $100 right now, they end up on Hard Knocks, because there's no way those cameras that are going to be infesting one buck are going to be able to ignore the stick carriers and what's coming there that is not seen in 99% of the training camps across the NFL. So it's going to be one hell of a day, a franchise-changing day. Now, back to the topic, which was today's topic, Dirk Cutter's biggest decision. Dirk Cutter's biggest decision. A lot of you were talking about Jameis, and a lot of you were talking about Cutter and how he's going to handle his third-year quarterback and all of these fucking weapons. Sean from Carolina did a great job with that. Right, Sean?
Kamish, Steve Isbitt, Stick Carriers, what's going on? It's Sean from Carolina checking back in with another Bucks take. Listen, fellas, the most important decision to me is really how Cotter is going to make use of the wide receivers and the tight ends in order to make the most effective and efficient use, creating mismatches for Jameis and exploiting the fucking defense to fuck their ass up all season long. This is going to be a constant decision that he's going to have to tinker with and toy with all season in order to create those mismatches to make our offense the most powerful offense in the league, and I think he can do it. So, you know, last year you have to think, for an example, a lot of those wide receiver screens that Hump ran that were first downs could have been touchdowns had he broken another tackle. So now with our receiver depth, you know, are those first downs now with DeSean Jackson and Chris Godwin? I don't think so. I think they're touchdowns. So that's just one example, but he's going to have to do that all season in order to make sure that we are constantly fucking the other team up. And I think we can do it. That's my time. Support the sponsors, B4, Ricardo's, Sports Legends, Headliners Barbershop, Stick Carriers. Let's keep doing our fucking thing and making that noise. Training camp takeover. Y'all better be carrying that big motherfucking stick there. Shh, gotta make sure it's edited though at training camp. But listen, y'all do the damn thing. Hold it down for those who can't be there, and we gonna get this shit done. Speak softly and carry that big motherfucking stick. Let's go.
Yes, love it, Sean. Love it, man. Well said. Constantly fucking up defenses. That's what Dirk Cutter has to do. You got the weapons. You got the third-year quarterback. No excuses. Look, this is why this guy was hired. Let's not make any mistake here. Cutter, before he came to Tampa, had two top 10 offenses. One with Jacksonville. One with the Panthers. Excuse me, one with the Falcons. And then he comes with the Bucks his first season here under Lovey. He's got a top 10 offense. You can count on one hand the number of offensive coordinators in NFL history that have turned out top 10 offenses with three different teams. Cutter's in rare company, man. He was hired here as head coach to make this offense great, to swing his big fucking stick with that offense. That is the situation. So you know what? He's got all the weapons now. The excuses are gone. And I'm sorry, Doug Martin lovers. This team is better running the football without Doug Martin. Go back and watch the games. Watch the drag that this guy put on the offense for carrying the ball the 28th most time in the league and averaging 2.9 yards a carry, worse than the NFL. Worse than the NFL for a full-time running back. So you know what? We're going to be better running the ball, and now he's got all these weapons. And he's got to use them. That is key. Cutter has to make a big decision here. He's got to decide, am I going to open up this offense? Am I going to open it up? Am I going to let it rip? Now, I get to go to OTAs with JoeBucksFan.com. We have full media credentials. Obviously, so many of you read our practice notes and all the stuff we pump out. Now, it's underwear football. No pads, no hitting. But you do get a good little sense of the skill position guys, because cornerbacks covering receivers and the way receivers operate, you can see an awful lot. You can definitely see an awful lot. And it's early. There have been underwear football stars before. Many, many through the years. Chris Godwin, guys, he looks good. He looks to me, the third round pick, Godwin out of Penn State. Remember Mike Williams? Remember Mattress in the Yard, Mike Williams? He came here in 2010, fourth round pick out of Syracuse, and they named him the number one receiver. I believe it was the end of OTAs. They saw the talent, they saw the ability, and he delivered. Say what you want about Mike Williams. He fell off the map, whatever. He delivered in his first couple of seasons here big time. He was ready. Godwin, I think of him a lot like Mike Williams early on here now. And if he is that good, then Dirk Cutter has got to take the gloves off. Got to let it rip. Light it up, man. It is a big decision for Cutter to assess these guys properly and decide, does he want to get away from setting up play action and being a ground and pound football team, which in a lot of ways he wanted to be. But that may not be the best situation right now, and good coaches adapt, shitty coaches don't. That's why Lovie Smith is ruining the Illini football program as we speak. All right, there's more of you wanted to talk about in your Bucks takes, talking about lighting up the offense being a big decision for Cutter, making the decision to open it up, do some of the things he did in Atlanta with the Falcons when he had real weapons over there, Roddy White, Julio Jones, Devin Hester, who Cutter kind of revived his career when he was there as a receiver. Can't remember the other guy's name, the very reliable receiver. It doesn't really matter. He had Tony Gonzalez. He had weapons at times. Is Cutter going to do that? That's what Big Dan and Deltona wants to talk about.
Bucks Uncensored, Commish, what up, brother? Steve, it's Bits. It's Big Dan over here in Deltona. Wanted to touch on today's topic is what do we think the biggest move that Dirk Cutter can make? And I think the biggest thing that he needs to do is take the training wheels away from Jameis Winston and let him start running the show a little more, give him control to call plays, let him do the no huddle, let him get in a groove, kind of like the Buffalo Bills did back in the day with Jim Kelly, and they had the K-gun offense. It was very prolific. Buffalo was scoring 30, 40 points at ease, and I really believe we got the capability to do that. I know most people are probably going to say the biggest decision he has to make is what he's going to do with Doug Martin. I think that's pretty much going to play itself out. As long as Doug Martin stays clean, he's our best back. Let's roll with it. If he fucks up, thanks a lot. We'll see you next time. Best wishes, all that shit. That's what I think, though. That's my opinion, is Dirk Cutter, take the training wheels away from Jameis Winston. He's going to his third year. Let him ball out. All right, that's about it. As always, speak softly, carry a big motherfucking stick.
Let Jameis ball out. Let Jameis ball out. Take off the training wheels, says Big Dan. Man, Cutter's got some big decisions ahead of him. He really, really does. I don't know about the no huddle with Jameis. The tempo stuff is nice, but let's not get carried away. He doesn't necessarily need to be calling plays. He still has a lot of freedom at the line of scrimmage, but I agree with Cutter, has got to loosen this up. You don't draft a quarterback number one and then not use him. Then get all these weapons and bury him. You gotta use him. That's what you invested in. Otherwise, the GM and the coach are not on the same page. Now, I get it. Cutter's job is to win games. You win games at any cost. Period. No bullshit. You win games. And a lot of what Cutter does will depend on his defense and what kind of faith he can have in his defense. And we saw last year that Cutter's not afraid to punt, and he wants Jameis to learn how to live another day. And, you know, if we got this A-list punter, keep that in mind when you're taking too many chances. So the more weapons a team has, the better a team is, in my opinion, the better the coaching job has to be. Cutter can't screw this up, and you better believe nobody wants to hear it, but Team Glazer does not have a lot of patience. The Glazers do not have a lot of patience. They want to win now. If they could be stick carriers, they would be stick carriers, and I wouldn't put it past them coming over to visit the stick carriers on training camp takeover day. But they want to win now, and Cutter knows that. He's got a very clear head on his shoulders, and if it takes opening up the offense to put it in Jameis's hands to let the franchise quarterback just start dealing out there, then I think it will happen. But we'll see. We'll see. There's so much of a chess game here that it's going to be a lot of fun. All right. Now, I hope you're having some fun with me, Steve Isbitz from JoeBucksFan.com, filling in for the commish. I can't do what the commish does. I'm not as funny as the commish. I'm kind of funny if it's just if I got someone to play off. But I realize that I can't be as funny as I need to be just sitting here by myself. But hopefully I'm bringing you a good podcast. The Bucks takes are great. And man, it's June fucking 10th. June 10th. Training camp, month and a half away. August 11th, first preseason game. That's 2 months and 2 days. It is so close. You can freaking taste it. You know what? Speaking of tasting it, Javier from Panama, when he was at the commission's draft party, he brought me this Panama rum. And I'm not going to sit here and do shots of high-end rum. I'm just it's just not my thing to do on a regular basis. But the special occasions is when I would get into Javier's rum. And this is the time. This is the time for two reasons. One, why not? Two, I'm hosting the commission's podcast. That's a special occasion. Bucks Uncensored, coolest podcast, most listened to podcast in America for the Buccaneers. And the next topic, the next thing on the docket on Bucks Takes as it relates to Dirk Cutter's biggest decision for 2017, it's the kind of decision that makes you want to do shots. So you know what? I'm going to take a break. I'm going to grab some shots, and I'll be right back.
Bucks Uncensored.
Yum!
Whoa, that Panama rum is some serious, serious shit. Oh, man, I'm going to need a glass of ice water after that. Javier, not bad, man, not bad. Very smooth, yet refined, yet powerful, yet, I don't know. I don't do a lot of shots of rums. This could get a little bit fun here. That was nice. Nice stuff. All right, now, of course, why else would any Bucks fan need shots of rum? Why else? Especially now that Lovie Smith is gone, why else would we need shots of rum? One reason, friends, one reason, Mr. Roberto Aguayo.
Steve from Joe Bucks Fan. Man, we can't thank you enough for filling in for Justin today so we could get our podcast. Just thank you for all you guys do. I want to let you know that the most important decision that Dirk Cutter is going to make this offseason is who he's going to go into this next season as his kicker. We need a solid, consistent kicker, one that's going to go out there, make all his extra points. I mean, come on, we shouldn't be worrying about, oh my God, we scored a touchdown. Now are we going to make an extra point? No, those need to be automatic. Anything from inside 40 needs to be automatic. Anything outside of 40, 45 yards, hey, we need to be hitting that shit 80% of the time. With the offense that we have, we're going to be moving down the field. It's not always going to end in touchdowns. Sometimes we're going to have to kick a field goal. And honestly, last year when we sent out Roberto Aguayo, I mean, I'm not alone here. We all, our hearts sank. We didn't know what was going to happen. Is he going to shank it? Is it going to hit the crossbar? Is it going to get blocked? We can't have that. With the goals that we have for this year and going forward, we need a kicker that's going to come in and do his job. I'm sorry, Aguayo. I know you were a second-round pick, but hey, man, it's time to put up or shut up. And Jameis, Jason, Dirk, these guys, we're here to win. If you're not going to be in a position to help us win, then you're going to have to see the door, man. Nick Folk, it's your time to shine. If he's the best man, that's what we need. Dirk Cutter, make the right decision. Don't leave points on the field. Get a kicker that's going to make kicks. Speak softly. Carry that big motherfucking stick. Mark from Orlando, MD Buccaneer on Twitter. I'm out.
Roberto Aguayo, El Asesino, the assassin himself. Man, the Aguayo thing drives me nuts because I appreciate the passion of fans who think that the Bucs are going to screw up somehow moving on from Aguayo. And, you know, they've got Janikowski on the brain saying, well, Janikowski, he had a rough rookie year and look what he did. And this guy. You know what? Go back and really look at Sebastian Janikowski. He straightened out his issues midway through his rookie year. Aguayo was terrible last preseason. Fans were booing him in August at training camp. He was an adventure all year. He had some good stretches. Kansas City, he kicked well. I was there. It was like 38 degrees or whatever it was. He hadn't been in that cold of an environment. Big game. He did well. He did some good things this year. But he fell off the wagon at the end of the year. So he started crappy. He finished crappy. And it was all mental. His coaches said it was all mental. So you know what? You got a guy who's got mental issues through a season. He couldn't right himself consistently. And his field goal percentage was garbage. And the Bucs brought in Nick Folk. They brought in a guy, franchise-leading kicker, all-time leading field goal percentage with the Jets. They gave him guaranteed cash. Hello. And he's a picture of fitness. This guy has won awards with the Jets, voted by teammates as the toughest guy in the weight room. They call it the Iron Jet Award. You know, he's like 31, 32 years old, Folk. He's probably got at least 6 years left. So, in my opinion, it's a big decision for Cutter to get the kicker thing right, finally. They've screwed up so many times, but Aguayo, I don't feel any pain about letting this guy go. Not a good, strong kicker. I'm at OTAs. Folk looks better. More confident, stronger leg, more accurate. I mean, what else do you want? But you know what? The process has to go through. I see Aguayo as competition for Folk. That's how I see it. I hope the best man wins. I just want to win damn football games. But you know what? If all things being equal, I think the Bucs have already made their decision that it's going to be Nick Folk. Because they believe they're a playoff team. They believe that this is their year. Because you know what, Bucs fans? I think the biggest question right now, and it's probably going to be the same answer come August or September, who do you want kicking in Green Bay in December with the season on the line? Mr. Aguayo or Mr. Folk? I'm not rooting against Aguayo. Don't get me wrong. A lot of people think we hate Aguayo at Joe Bucs fan. No, the guy stunk last year. So did Doug Martin. I don't like players who stink. I like players who are on the rise. I don't see either of those two guys as on the rise. So I think it's an easier decision than you might think for Cutter. Aguayo, no, I don't think so. I think kicker is going to right itself, make itself very easy, and the right call will be made. Of course, every time is a good time, like right now, to remember the sponsors, Brocato's. Brocato's, get there for lunch. Hit them up online. Check them out. Check out the menu. Get over to Brocato's in Ybor City. Sports Legends, Drew Street at US 19 in Clearwater. Eat like a legend. Unbelievable draft party. And I know Justin has some events coming up there that he's going to be announcing pretty soon. But lunch, dinner, the ball games, all the games, get over there. Drink B4 before you go. B4, the letter B, the number 4, ABC Liquors. You can get them online. Justin, if you're not following the Commish on Twitter, what the hell are you doing? At Commish Online. And, of course, the Stick Carriers Facebook page. Get after it. And for those of you who are not reading JoeBucksFan.com, I feel sorry for you. Sorry, I know it sounds cocky, but you got to get up to speed. You got to live the Bucks life. Just keep refreshing, keep checking us out. Nobody has produced more copy on the Bucks, more content than JoeBucksFan.com since we got started in 2008. It's almost at 30,000 posts. 30,000 posts on JoeBucksFan.com, which if you combine all the other outlets out there, including the newspapers, that's more than them, too. So anyway, now, we're still talking Bucks football here, guys. Still talking Bucks football. Dirk Cutter's got big, big decisions to make. And we just heard from Mark in Orlando. And you know what? I have had another couple of shots of rum, and I believe I feel like the podcast is deteriorating as a result. I did not drink before. It is after midnight. So, of course, Javier in Panama, provider of the rum, has some stuff on his mind, including Mr. Aguayo, and he's sort of taken a shot at JoeBucksFan.com. He's got a request, and he's not too happy. Javier, what's up?
You know, I can just picture Justin walking out of the dugout, pointing his right hand to the bullpen, and out comes the right-hand man from JoeBucksFan.com, the moderator of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Some say he is a sushi lover, and he secretly owns a Savvy Piscatella jersey. I'm talking about Steve Isbitz. Hey, Steve, how are you doing? Thanks for filling in for Justin. I hope you enjoyed being freed from the shackles of FCC rulings here in this Bucks Uncensored podcast, where you can say such beautiful words like shit, fuck, and others. Anyways, Steve, before I get to my main question, I have a little suggestion. On your website, JoeBucksFan.com, and guys, Steve won't tell you this, but I know he has a little pet peeve about people calling JoeBucksFan. No, it's JoeBucksFan.com. Anyways, Steve, when you scroll down to the left, you have like a sub list of categories, different categories. There are like five or six, and none of them are related to this this podcast. It's time we get a little categories called Bucks and Censor, where we can find all the podcasts. Anyways, back to my main question, Steve. In your opinion, which player on the offense and defensive side is our weakest link? We are a 9-7 team, and if we want to go to the playoff, that weakest link must rise its level of play. We all know who that player on the special teams is. It's Roberto Aguayo. There's no doubt about it. Anyways, I'd love to hear your answer. Guys, as always, support our sponsors. Have a great weekend, and right back into this. Habla en voz baja y cara con hijo de puta garrote.
Javier, man, too funny, too funny. First, I got to translate for everybody listening. Javier said categories a few times. That was supposed to be categories. And gosh, man, on tough audience, Javier, on JoeBucksFan.com, on the left-hand side, running down, there's a little area for categories where you can click on, like, it says one thing says everything Ira Kaufman, Echoes from the Cave, which is Gil Arcia's Saturday columns on JoeBucksFan.com, and there's nothing there for Bucks Uncensored. Reason why is the category makes, the way it's designed, it makes a whole separate page, and if I put all of Justin's podcasts sort of archived on one page, all those giant audio files and the way it lays out in the system would fucking blow it up. So that's not going to happen. We do have a podcast page where you can get a link to Justin's podcast on iTunes. Of course, you can subscribe there, subscribe on Podbean. And we always make sure that our little hot stories area has Justin's podcast on there, and you're not going to miss it. So there's plenty of love. Don't worry about that. Now, enough of that. Javier, weakest link on offense, weakest link on defense. Tough questions, man. Tough questions. I'm going to go with cornerback on defense. Depth. Depth at cornerback is a weakness. It's a weak link. Last year, it didn't show up that much because Brent Grimes literally played 99% of the snaps, and Vernon Hargraves was right there with him. Mike Smith did not want to substitute these guys. And they didn't. And you know what? Guys don't always play 99% of the snaps every season. At nickel corner, we didn't get any picks at nickel last year, to the best of my recollection. No picks at nickel. Javion Elliott, Hey Jude, Ajay Barima. Now we've got Robert McClain in the mix, a guy who was on the street for months, but he did play with Mike Smith successfully in Atlanta, and he had a little bit of a good run with the Panthers and actually started in the Super Bowl, Robert McClain, but not a lot of depth. Josh Robinson, he's back. He's had some experience, good experience in Minnesota, but you know what, guys? He did not beat out Alteron Verner last year in the eyes of the coaching staff, and Verner can't find a job. He's unemployed, from the Pro Bowl to unemployed. He's still 28 years old. And you look at Ryan Smith, pretty candid stuff from Dirk Cutter the other day. While Ryan Smith had a good day at practice, last year's fourth-round pick, who they view as an outside corner, a six-footer, tallest corner on the roster, who could actually be that number three corner, that outside backup for Grimes or Hargraves. He's been inconsistent in practice, so even though he had a good day the other day. And, you know, his fourth-round pick, he's got a ways to go. So I'm going to say weakest link on defense is depth at cornerback. Weakest link on offense, I'm going to go to Damar Dotson. I hate to say it, like Damar, but, you know, this is not about who I like. He got paid last year when Jason Light didn't have to pay him. He got his $6 million a year when it would have been a contract year if he just played it out. And I don't think he played that great. I really don't. And he's getting old now. I think he's going to be 32 this season. And I think he could be a weak link. Guys have a way of just not, I don't know. That would be my call for a weak link. But it's early, so I don't even know if we need to be talking weak links yet. But that would be my pick. I'd say Dotson would be a weak link, perhaps the weakest link on offense. All right, you know, we have other Bucks takes to get to, but you know what? I thought I could get to more, but I just can't do it. Garv, I'll call you out, Garv. You wanted to talk a little bit about Jameis and your Bucks take and allowing him to wing it and really sling it. What you thought was, like others, thought that would be a big deal for this season, a big decision for Dirk Cutter. But you know what? Couldn't get to you today, Garv. Sorry. I appreciate you thanking us for unblocking you on Twitter. And you did something. You did something to get blocked. But I'm glad you're back and glad we've all made peace with that. Your long, long effort to get us to unblock you on Twitter, that worked. So stick carriers, man. Fuck, this was so much fun to sit in for the commish and talk some Bucks football in the middle of June when, you know, there's not a ton going on necessarily. There's underwear football. But I've been at those underwear football practices, and one thing I've saved this for the very end, and I'm sure Justin will talk about it on the next podcast, but after last practice on Thursday, I had some one-on-one time with Mike Evans. Great guy, Mike Evans. Spent a lot of time with him at the Pro Bowl. I think we bonded a little bit, so hopefully I'll be able to get some extra good stuff from him during the season. But I talked to Mike Evans about Dirk Cutter and him telling the team and guiding the team to speak softly and carry that big motherfucking stick. I finally got a chance to ask Mike Evans about it and what that meant to the team. And man, Evans said it was a big deal. That Cutter just knows the right buttons to push, and that messages like that come from Cutter and from Jameis, and that they were a big part of that winning streak. And Mike Evans says that the only difference right now on June 10th between the 2017 Buccaneers and the 2016 Buccaneers is the swagger. He said the swagger is rampant, that the swag is everywhere, and it's about Dirk Cutter, and it's about the mentality that the team has. He says nothing really looks different on the field, and you know, he said the defense looks better, but nothing, there's nothing different going on other than the swagger, other than the big motherfucking stick that Dirk Cutter told these guys to start swinging, to start carrying that stick at all times. And Mike Evans says it's there. Mike Evans says it's there. I'm going to be writing this up on JoeBucksFan.com over the weekend, but I wanted to drop it off to the stick carriers first. Exciting stuff. And I thought it was very interesting that Evans said that Jameis was part of that too. I asked him about Cutter. He went to Jameis and Cutter, of course, with Cutter being the godfather, but interesting stuff. Anyway, Kamish is back on Monday. He'll have your Bucks take, some of the ones I didn't get to today. He might even have some exciting news. He always seems to, but We've been following the commish in Atlanta. Hope you had a great trip. Justin, thanks for letting me sit in and take on Bucks Uncensored. I hope I did you right here. And it's been so much fun. Thanks for all of you who visit joebucksfan.com and who, share our stories. Share them, man. Share them. Listen to the Irv Ira Kaufman podcast. And we're spreading a movement. We're together in this, in making the Bucks great and in making the fan base great. And just living the life, because, you know, this is an escape. This is fun. This is life, an alternative life for all of us. And we deserve it to be freaking awesome. And you know what? This year, this could be a huge breakthrough situation for Bucks fandom, and I'm fucking pumped up. So, Bucks Uncensored, Justin's back Monday. I'm out of here.